afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, the first one of 2022. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on the current events, economic news for Monday, January 3rd, 2022. Howdy, Butch.
Hello, Melody. 2022.
2022.
I graduated in 1966. And everybody's talking about the great big bicentennial of the United States in 1976. I thought that's 10 years from now. I won't live that long. Here it is, 2022. My goodness, how fast my life's going by.
How about that? It goes by fast for everyone's life. So appreciate it while you have it. And
Yes.
Yeah, so I think it's going to prove to be an interesting year. Every year is an interesting year, though. You know,
a lot of
predictions don't come true, and some do, some don't. And that's why I never call predictions, because usually I don't think anybody has the crystal ball that can tell us the future. So until someone claims that they do and can confirm that they have it, and
the close I found is the Bible, and it pretty much tells the future.
That's very true.
Anyway, welcome to 2022. Whatever it brings.
People ask me all the time, "What do you see gold doing this year? Is it going to go up? Is it going to go down?" I say, "If I had the crystal ball, we'd all be wealthy." I wouldn't be answering the telephones anymore. But we needed that because they hit gold pretty good today, and I think it's just, you know, after holiday trading, gold was down $28 today, but still at 1802. Silver was down 43 at 2297. It was over $23 most of the day. Platinum was down $10 at 963. Palladium was down 83 at 1912. The USDX today was up 0.56 at 96.22. Crude oil was up 79 cents at $76. Paper markets today. Now, it's funny, the Dow opened up a couple hundred points. It went down. Now it's back up 246 points, 36,585. S&P is up 30 at 47.96. The NASDAQ was up 187, 15,832. Asia and Europe were mixed, and 10-year yield, boy, that popped 0.14 at 1.63%. That really popped over the weekend. And so kind of a interesting day in the markets for the first trading day of 2022, Butch.
Yeah, yeah. It's running about like it did the last day of 2021, you know. And somebody asked you if gold's going to go up this year, and you up or down, you could say yes. It'll go up 20 bucks, come down 10, but it is holding the base. I think 1800 is going to be the new base. I do believe that's going to be the next kickoff point. I think it's going to be a new bottom number, I guess you could say, for a while. You know, gold and silver both have inched up a lot in the last year, from 1200, 1300 up to 1800, and kind of bottom out there right now for a while, but it's going up again. So no matter how you look at it, anyone in precious metals has gained ground. And yes, those in stocks have gained ground also. But the stocks are a bubble. Hard assets are not. They're real. So this year could be interesting. Like you said, I don't know. I'm not giving predictions or anything. But I don't look for a good economic year for America. Not with what I'm seeing come down the road. For the world even. But you know what? We have to understand the fact, Melody, that what affects the world now affects us. We're no longer an island. We no longer take care of ourselves. We no longer manufacture anything to even feed ourselves. So whatever affects the world is going to affect us, is it not?
Well, it is. I mean, we are, you know, as far as economics and, you know, I mean, just everything. We're connected. We're globalized.
Yes, we are.
We're a new world order.
So, I mean, America is no longer
autonomous. They're just putting the finishing touches. Yeah, they're putting the finishing touches on the new world order.
Yes, they are.
And it is, and it's interesting about gold because one of my neighbors said to me this weekend, well, you know, gold had its worst year in 6 years. 2021 was worst year for gold since for 6 years. And it's just like, well, is that the only thing you remember? It's just, what about the previous 5 years? It's done pretty well. It's gold. It's gone up. You know, what it started out, you know, 6 years ago at what, 1500, 1400. Not bad. But that's just not why we look at gold to see what it's done. It protects your purchasing power every single day.
That's right.
You're converting fiat dollars into real money. And it's, and yes, it goes up, it goes down, and you know, sometimes, but you know, it's got a lot of manipulation attached to it. They hit it every time it starts going up. But we don't hold it for short term. We hold it for what we all know, we have debt too great to be paid. And as Donald Trump, I did agree with him, they will have to readjust because we have debt too great to be paid. So, and that will affect many, many people, many, many retirement accounts. And you know what, Butch, it isn't the stock market. I said this years ago. I haven't said it for a long time. Our economy is the stock market. I mean, that's what our, that's, sure, we go through the ritual of all the reports and the GDPs and everything like that. But truly, it really is the stock market. And there's so many retired people attached to it. The same person who talked about gold having the worst year in 6 years said he has more money in his account than he did when he retired so many years ago. You know, because it just keeps going up and up and up, and they spend and spend and spend. And so that is the economy. And it's not, but that's what they've, that's the illusion that they've created, Butch, I believe.
Well, that's been the illusion for America for a long time.
For a long time.
A long time. It really and truly has. And in a sense, I guess it has worked, prospered people for a while, but no one understands that this cannot continue. It's just like the debt bubble. Yeah, look, for years it looked like they were prospering. The economy was growing. They were making money every which direction, printing up paper. It looked like people were prospering and things were moving along real quickly, real rapidly. And it took a while for it to come to a head, but now it's starting to catch up to us in the way of inflation and other things. So it's just a matter of time before these, I hate to use the word con game, but that's about what it boils down to, you know, the Madoff type situations, where people are look like they're prospering, but there's somebody in the future, in the future generation, will pay for our false prosperity. So that's just the way it is. You can't build an economy on fake money and fake assets. It's just like Bitcoin. It people will say, well, now billionaires are saying, getting in Bitcoin, protect your money, get out of the dollars. If there's anything that's going to be worth less than a dollar, it's going to be Bitcoin. A digit on a computer that's in thin air, when it does go down, folks, it'll be nothing. Nothing. And it's coming. Now, I'm sure that one day, Melody, probably they'll use some kind of cyber coin to bring in the moneyless society worldwide. That's like the Bible says is going to happen. But until then, you're just playing with your future and your children's future by playing in this game of iCloud currency. It can go with a poof, and it will. And when the world governments decide to shut down all the independents, they'll do it and may bring in their own thing. But folks, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt everybody.
Yes, it will. We just don't know when.
That's true.
But in the meantime, we prepare, we live our lives, we prepare so that we can live our lives.
Well, in today's society, I will say this because it's a growing concern. If you're still paying your bills and you're blessed to have something to eat and a place to live, you're doing very well, because I know for a fact this is starting to slow down a lot of places. People are starting to struggle, really struggle. And so this is coming to a head. Those who maybe have made the right move at the right time, the stock market looked like they prospered and went up like a Bitcoin. Of course, they blew through the roof a little bit. But, folks, it's only temporary. It truly is. So all I can say is if you're not preparing with hard assets, you're not prepared. You're not prepared. And the gentleman said gold had the worst year in 5 years. I don't quite understand what he means. Maybe it didn't go up as much percentage-wise, but gold went up nonetheless. And so did silver. Maybe it didn't go up percentage-wise like other things he's seen. Maybe it's growing at a slower pace, but it continues to grow, doesn't it?
Well, gold's performance in 2021 was the worst performance in 6 years. So, yeah, I didn't take a peek at where gold was in January. Can do that here real quick. Maybe I can do it real quick. See where it exactly was. What was that? 2021. View data. January. It was 1943.
Yeah. Yep.
January
yep.
of last year. And they show the last. So we were 1800. So it's down 143 points. It didn't perform well. We had a trading range, though. I mean, we dropped from 1943. We got to about 1800 pretty quick. 1800, the first one, the first average was, maybe February. But it traded between, 1750 and 1800 for most of the year. We did hit 1900 in June. But other than that, we were in a trading range. And there's nothing wrong with being in a trading range. I like it. I like stability.
That's what I'm saying. It's not as volatile as paper. It is not.
Mm-mm.
So I think the wise thing is hard assets. That's all I can say. And I think soon we'll be proven right in a big way. I believe that. I do. Hey, I want to share something real quickly in the way of good news. This surprised me coming out of Illinois, of all the places. The Illinois Supreme Court ruled that the tax on guns and ammo are unconstitutional. A county in Illinois, Cook County, Illinois, ruled... A one that is charged $25 tax on retail purchase of firearms and a 5 cent per cartridge tax for center fire ammunition, 1 cent per cartridge tax for rim fire ammunition, which is like 22. The people said, no, we're not, this isn't constitutional. You can't single out this item. And the Illinois Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of people who said this is unconstitutional. I mean, I was surprised. So, I was just really surprised that they had enough sense to do that. I'm proud of Illinois Supreme Court for a change. They've made a move in the right direction. Just want to share that. I thought that was good news.
Thank you.
I thought it was good news.
Yes.
Did you see where Biden is meeting with farmers to help cut meat prices?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I just wonder what kind of magic wand has he got today? Supposed to meet today, But President Joe Biden will meet virtually with independent farmers and ranchers to discuss initiatives to reduce food prices by increasing competition within the meat industry, part of a broader effort to show the administration is trying to combat inflation. The White House event occurs Monday afternoon as higher-than-expected inflation has thwarted Biden's agenda. Consumer price in November rose 6.8% over the prior 12 months, a 39-year high. Inflation's hurt Biden's public approval, become fodder for Republicans' attacks, and prompted Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia to cite higher prices as a reason to sideline Democratic president's tax, social, and economic programs. Biden's building off his July executive order that directed the Agriculture Department to more aggressively look at possible violations of the 1921 Packers and Stockyards Act, which was designed to ensure the fair competition and protect consumers. Meat prices have climbed 6% from a year ago, with beef prices up 20.9%. I'm just wondering what he thinks he can do to stop meat prices from going up. I don't know what he has in mind. I have no idea. I'm anxious to hear what he tells the farmers to do or what can do to help them. I have no idea. But I think one of the main things they do is get the government's hands off of it and let free enterprise go to work, let the open markets work, but they're not going to do that.
I think the farmers is the wrong place where you should go to, because the farmers are already hurting, you know, with
yes,
the rise in feed and everything
yes,
else.
They are.
They're not the ones, you know, so it's a combination. It's just not the farmers. What are the farmers going to do? What are the ranchers going to do?
Well,
cut back on feed? How
yeah,
are they
exactly.
going to get cheaper feed?
With their cost of production going up, they yeah. have to charge more for the beef, or they won't be in business. So it's not the farmers. You're right. Actually, Melody, it's a lot more than that, of course, but it's also a worldwide connection here, because farmers get meat from, shipped in, grains in from other countries now, not just all in America. So prices up all over the world. Somebody's going to have to pay this. It can't go on forever. Somebody's got to pay it. I mean, it's like when they did the price freezes back in the 70s under Nixon. That didn't stop it. They just held it back for a while. Somebody's got to pay that higher dividend. It doesn't just end with, because he says, well, it's going to end right here. The stores can't charge as much. Well, if the wholesalers are charging the stores, what can the stores do?
Right. I mean, in my conversation previous years with ranchers, it's also the middlemen. It's the middlemen that also dictate. We are in a little bit of a different time right now, because we do. I mean, we always had inflation. But it is a little bit different this time, and, you know, because the product isn't getting to where it needs to go and so forth. So there is a different challenge. There's different challenges this time around, but there's nothing he can do about it.
No,
what's he going to do? Is he going to – oh, he was real successful in helping with the pharmaceuticals, lowering those prices. That was a real successful deal, wasn't it? Because nobody can lower them either. Trump couldn't lower them. So they might lower one little pill out of, you know, 1,000 that they produce. And that's supposed to be a successful policy. No. It doesn't work that way. Prices aren't going down. And so they charge, you know, $100 a pill. Okay, we'll drop it to 95. Oh, yeah, okay. That's real helpful. It's the same thing. There's nothing they can do.
Well, that is very true. That is beyond. I mean, that's something we'd like to think. I know he said he was going to fix the gas prices. Our prices dropped 2 cents a gallon. Big whoop.
Yeah, telling the Saudis to pump more oil. Well, why don't you allow our oil fields to work?
There again, reopen the pipeline. Let some things happen that can make the oil flow again, and get government controls off of private enterprise.
So he's real good at fixing problems, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He sure is. Yeah, his administration proved that very well.
But we're real good at finishing up the first break of 2022. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival. Or heading into the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Butch, I think I had too many days off. I really needed the days off. I appreciate the listeners and our customers here at Discount Gold and Silver. We had lots of calls today for people who tried to call us like on Friday and knowing we were closed and everything. They saved and waited for their orders, and they were rewarded because gold and silver were down today. But it's kind of a little hard to get back into the seat.
You got out of practice, didn't you, Seth? What you get?
I did.
Is the main thing you're over your hangover, though, right?
Almost.
I hear
now,
you.
Don't start rumors now.
I wouldn't do that on public radio.
No, well, you
already,
wouldn't.
I wouldn't
sure
do
you
that.
Would.
No,
absolutely not.
No way. I wouldn't do that. But you know, we're talking about this during the break, folks. I'm gonna get some more stories, but stories coming in. But we had our first really cold night here last night in the hills of West Virginia. I mean, we went down to 20s. We had a cold night, and it's cold today even. We had about an inch or so of snow. Nothing big at all. Down just an hour south of us, they had, we're having 4 to 6 inches. But where we are, we didn't have that much. The further went north, the less it got. But
bragging about it.
Well, I'm just wanting to share. Cause, I mean, we're coming into time now that if power goes off and people depend on electricity for heat, they might want to think about a backup. With all sincerity, they might want to think about something to back up that heat. And I don't know if you have any, what you have is available to you. But with all sincerity, think about backup in the case of power goes off, because I do believe we're going to see more rolling blackouts this year. It may come in the winter. It may come in the summer when AC's on. I don't know. But think about the coming of what could happen in the future. And you don't need to, you know, people think, well, I got to heat the whole house. No, no, you don't. If you keep one room warm enough to keep, you know, keep everybody in the family warm and safe, you get by with that. But it's better if you have something that you can keep the pipes from freezing. Just think ahead a little bit. Plan ahead. Plan ahead is very important. I mean, we've lost power here for as long as 11 days, and we managed to get by. But just keep in mind, this could happen. When you're talking about inflation, Melody, grocery chain order sounds alarm. Food prices will go up tremendously. Now, this, I'm hearing this from different places. But on Monday, this guy's name is, the name of the store is Chris Tedes. I never heard that before. C-G-R-I-S-T-E-D-E-S. Chris Tedes Grocery Chain. Owner John Castamatidis appeared on Fox Business Network and warned that food prices are going to go up tremendously as President Joe Biden struggles to get a handle on rising inflation. Inflation that could have easily been avoided had the Biden administration not continued to throw away money left and right. Now, I got to say this, too. Trump did the same thing, folks. Maybe not to the degree as Biden did, but Trump, not just Trump, but even before Trump has started. We've been doing this for decades in this country, throwing away money, printing money, giving out welfare, that caused inflation. But nonetheless, the interviewer, Maria Bartiromo, said, we're talking about the disruptions in the supply chain and inflation being real issues. What are you seeing from your standpoint in regards to the both of these issues? This is what this Mr. Castamatidis said. We're both in the oil business and food business, so I see all ends of the chain. We're at almost $84 for oil this morning. Of course, it's down some 70. I think Mel said 76 today. We're going to see $100 oil, and I believe that too. It looks like there's no sign of a drop stopping. You know how CEOs are on Wall Street. They live quarter by quarter. If they're off by a penny in earnings, well, Wall Street is not forgiving. So what are the CEOs doing? They're raising prices. They want to be ahead of the curve. I see food prices going up tremendously. They want to be ahead of the curve, and the way we are doing it is they are dropping all promotions. They are dropping low moving items. And I am seeing shortages in the stores around here. I truly am. Nothing major yet, but shortages nonetheless. You can't go in and pick off the rack what you did, the variety you once had. There's still stuff there, but it's not the variety. But this gentleman, the CEO of Christie's Grocery Store, said we're going to see it be tremendously. I don't know how much tremendously is. Is it 10%, 20%? I don't know. But the folks, I'm telling you, food prices are going to go up. You better think about that and prepare for that. Some way, maybe you have to put back some extra cash if you have it for that reason. Or stock up on some canned goods while you can still find them. The food prices are going to go up. Last year was a big bump in food prices. By the way, I've said many times, food prices aren't counted in the inflation rate in this country. What an ignorant thing. But nonetheless, check it out and look at watch the price in the stores and watch and see if your grocery stores and your other stores are not getting a little bit scarce on certain varieties of things you buy. Any comments on LD?
No. And I think you have some information there about IKEA. Talked about it this weekend to some folks about what they're going to do. Well, since we're talking about inflation.
I don't believe I have that. Go ahead and share that.
Don't you have that?
I
thought you did. Where they're going to raise prices 50%. This is IKEA. Because of supply chain issues. It's a furniture store and, you know, pretty... You get to buy it, and you get to put it together yourself. So they raised the price of its flat-pack furniture by 50% after Christmas.
Wow.
The retailer said it was not able to continue absorbing the cost of raw materials, transport, and logistics. Inca Holding BV, the largest owner and operator of the IKEA stores, announced on Thursday that it was planning to raise prices by 9% on average. The company said the cost increases are felt most in North America and Europe. Now, we're the only ones that have any money. Earlier this year, except for the Asian countries, I shouldn't say that, but that's where it's all made. Earlier this year, IKEA warned that prices would rise. Bottlenecks in shipping materials from Asia to Europe caused significant delays. And Britain's inflation hit a 10-year high of 5.1% in November. Energy bills and rising taxes may result in a year of the squeeze in 2022.
Wow.
So they're looking to increase prices by 50%. And,
From $100 to $150 for an item. That's what it is, 50%. If you paid $100 for it last year, it'd be $150 this year. And by the way, lumber's price is going back through the roof again also. There's no shortage. But the price is going up again on lumber. And this all adds up because, Melody, who can survive in this country without something to do with oil products or wood products? Eventually, you got to have something remade or rebuilt. It costs money. So I didn't know that IKEA, 50% increase. That is huge. That is huge.
And on average, it's 9%. So so I guess they make other things other than the flat. They're talking about the flat pack furniture is by 50%, but I guess on their other things, I don't know what else they all sell, but I've never been to an IKEA store, so I don't know. But so that's huge.
It is huge. It is huge. That's big.
And prices go down after Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. They usually have after Christmas sales and everything.
After Christmas sales.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this article, $29,000 for the average used car. I'm thinking back, and I know, folks, I'm old as the hills here in West Virginia. I know I am. But I bought a Subaru for a work car, Melody, back in the 70s. Brand new Subaru, little station wagon. You know what I paid for it? $6,000. 1970-something. A little over $6,000. New. You don't buy Subarus for that price anymore. But average used car is $29,000 in America today. I said, would-be buyers are aghast, no doubt. Said a couple of months ago, a woman paid a visit to Jeff Shearer's used car lot in Omaha, Nebraska. She was on a tight budget, she said, and was desperate. She was showing three cars priced at her limit, roughly $7,500. Shearer said the woman was stunned. "That's what I get for $7,500, he recalled her saying. The vehicles had far more age or mileage on them than she had expected for something to replace a car that had been totaled in a crash. The woman eventually settled for a 2013 Toyota Scone with a whopping 160,000 miles on it. Shreya said isn't sure he made a profit on the deal. We just helped her out, he said. As prices for used vehicles blow past any seemingly rational, it is the kind of scenario playing out at many auto dealerships across country. Prices have soared so high, so fast, that buyers are being increasingly priced out of the market. Consider that the average price of a used vehicle in the United States in November, according to Edmunds.com, is $29,011, a dizzying 39% more than just 12 months earlier. And for the first time that anyone can recall, more than half American households have less income than is considered necessary to buy the average price used car. So for the first time, folks, first time that anyone can recall, American households have less income than is considered necessary to buy the average price used car. Melody, I don't know if you looked at cars or not. I haven't looked lately. There's no point in it. I can't afford them. I mean, I can't afford the prices on them. There's no way that I want that payment on those kind of cars that you have to pay a used car $29,000 for. That's on an average used car. This is getting out of hand. It truly is. I mean, the lady is $7,500 to spend, which at one time would have bought you a decent car. But now it won't do that. So transportation is getting higher. You reckon this is a way to phase out gasoline motors and bring in electric automobiles? I don't know. But, folks, I'll tell you one thing. The electric automobile is going to cost you a lot more to run. And when you have to replace the batteries in it, I was reading the other day, one guy finally just set his on fire. He said he wasn't going to spend a company. He actually bring his car up. He said, "I'm not going to pay the company for new batteries." So the newer cars coming out going to cost you more to maintain than a gasoline engine. So we're heading down a road where maybe we take what we take for granted all of our life, the ability to get in a car and drive down the highway and be able to afford it, maybe coming to an end in America and actually around the world. But I'm talking about America here now. Any comments on that, Melody?
No, I don't know how the high prices and used cars would push people into the electric vehicles because they're just as expensive. I mean, although you've got a point there where, you know, if a used car is, you know, $29,000 and the new electric vehicle is $35,000, that's not much of a jump to get into something that's new. So I don't quite get the high price of used vehicles. I mean, it pushes everybody into a new vehicle, that's for sure. But I don't know. But the inventory isn't there for the new vehicles. People just go to the lots and pay. I mean, people are paying above retail. It's the same thing as the homes. And the thing of it is, these home prices, too. I was listening to a commentary on the television this morning talking about home prices. They're not sustainable. I mean, people are coming. It's like, what is wrong with people coming? Is that piece of property that important to folks that they're willing to pay $60,000, $100,000 more than the value of the house itself? I mean, what's wrong with folks? Is there that much money out there that they throw caution to the wind and put down 100 grand more than the house is valued for just so they can have the property? I don't get it.
Well,
There's other properties out there.
I don't get
how
people make the car payments today on even the used cars. I know people about cars who are they're living in, and I'm not picking on people who live in mobile homes. I know nothing about mobile home, but their car costs three times what the mobile home did.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't. But, Melody, look, we can be excited about this. The richest billionaires in the United States grew their wealth by more than $340 billion over the last year. Isn't that exciting?
Of course it did.
That's great.
The wealth get wealthier and the poor get poorer.
There you go. U.S. billionaires Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Larry Page, Mark Zuckerberg, Sergey Brin, Steve Ballmer, Larry Ellison, and Warren Buffett grew their combined wealth to about $341 billion in 2021. Elon Musk, the co-founder of Tesla, boosted wealth by $121 billion in the last year. Poor little guy. Amazon Executive Chairman Jeff Bezos grew his wealth to $195 billion. Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft, now holds $140 billion in wealth, while Google co-founder Larry Page holds about $130 billion after growing his wealth by $47 billion in 2021. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Meta, which owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, has a net wealth of $128 billion, thanks to a boost of $24 billion in 2021. At the same time, the American middle class has seen a dramatic drop in wealth. The middle class includes 75.7 million U.S. households with an annual income of $27,141,000. In October 2021, Breitbart News reported the top 1% of American income earners in the U.S. is now listen, folks, listen to this. The top 1% of the income earners in the U.S. now hold more wealth than the entire American middle class. Specifically, the middle class has seen its share of national wealth plummet to just 26.6%, while the top 1% share of the wealth has grown 27%. The first time in U.S. history that the top 1% of the share of the wealth has outpaced the middle class's share of the wealth. Wow. First time in history the top 1% owns more wealth than all the middle class combined. Wow. Melody, that's a huge statement. The middle class in America was the engine of the whole economy for a long time, weren't they?
Well, I mean, yes. And, these billionaires, I mean, I don't know what good they do with their money. if they, you know, but we never hear the good things that they do, if any, with their money.
I agree.
That's the problem. I mean, all weekend there was this thing on Bezos. Every time you went online or something like that, you saw him floating around in his big boat and his little shorts showing his muscles and a girl in a little bikini. It's like, I really don't care. I really don't want to follow him. I don't care.
I hear you.
But I do hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. During the break, we were talking Louie.
I come in soon as I went back on the air. I thought of it. Yeah, exactly.
During the break, we were talking about songs that were banned back in the 50s and 60s, and we were trying to remember Louie. But here are some other ones. Here's a little bit of trivia for everyone. There were, here we go. Hold on. 13 songs from the 50s and 60s that were actually censored. Some were banned. And I'll read them through quick. Splish, Splish, Splash by Bobby Darin. You had Wake Up Little Susie by the Everly Brothers. You had Puff the Magic Dragon by Peter, Paul, and Mary. You had Let's Spend the Night Together, the Rolling Stones. Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. And let's see, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, the Shirelles. My Generation, the Who. God Only Knows, the Beach Boys. I had no idea about that one. Louie by the Kingsmen. Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis. Love Me Two Times, the Doors. And Leader of the Pack, the Shangri-Las. And the last one, you're not going to get. I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, Jimmy Boyd, released in 1952. I guess that was a little risque for that time. I Saw Mommy Kissing. She was cheating.
Oh,
kissing
my.
Santa. Anyway.
Some of those
know,
I would never guess. Some of those I would never guess. Ever.
Me too. Because Louie was the one that we've always known the most.
It was really a stupid song. It really was. It wasn't even a stupid song. Yeah, I remember those. I remember all those. Yeah, I know. I'm getting old. I remember all those. By the way, folks, in case you're interested, Melody will join me on my broadcast tonight, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, discussing a lot of different issues, too. So join us tonight on our broadcast and listen to Melody share some more of her wisdom and insight. So come and join us. Now, back to the articles. I think this is kind of a telling article, Melody. The coming retirement crisis will affect everyone. We are on the cusp of a retirement crisis that will affect everyone. Far too many promises have been made, and the demographics we face do not bode well for a bright future. The answer that some people tout is we should have more children or open the borders. This is based on the idea we need more workers and ignores many other factors feeding into the issue. There is simply no way more children or workers can ever pay enough into the system to fulfill the promises that we have made. Now, I'll make two comments here. Yes, we need more children. We murdered 75 million through abortion. Yes, that's folks just come back to bite us right now. But he's right. The author is right that this is not going to fix it either. Made too many promises, built too many welfare packages, built too many federal handouts. We just went too far, and private corporations promised too much. The post office is, the post office made a lot of promises, and nobody will keep them. That's just one factor of them. But we've stretched everyone to thin to cover all the retirement benefits for everybody, including my generation. That it cannot be maintained. And folks, this is coming to a head. I don't know when, but it can't be much longer. And again, I'll go back to the point we murdered 75 million future taxpayers. And they're talking about bringing in foreigners. Most illegals don't pay taxes, my friends. They can't because they get cut on payroll. They get sent out of the country. So this isn't going to help it either. The competition for programs from the government to support the needs of different generations is about to explode as young and old Americans reach out for more help. Much of a problem stems from a slew of bad policies, either driven by stupidity, corruption, or an unwillingness to accept the real reality. You can postpone a reckoning for only so long. Investors and public at large suffer from a recency bias of hope that tends to blind them from unpleasant long-term realities. And folks, we've always done that. America for years has kicked the can down the road to the next generation. It's catching up. The coming together of surging investment risk and an interrupted business cycle and demographics are coming together to form the perfect storm. To clarify, much of the wealth in America is held in the hands of the baby boomers that are just about to retire. And over the years, many have moved into risky investment in search of yield. It has been years since we had a major recession, so sooner or later, it is logical one will arrive. Last but not least, we are now seeing demographics play a larger role in the economy as boomers downsize, sell their assets, and cut spending. This has been a perfect storm. No doubt about it. Murdering off our population, extending more benefits through the government and welfare, bringing more benefits to younger people that either can't or don't want to work. A lot of them don't want to work. Promising people never worked a day in their life, Social Security, taking out of the Social Security funds to fund people that never paid a tax dollar in their life. Yeah, folks, it's coming to a head, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of people, especially those who depend on that, the retired people. You know, I feel sorry, Melody, for everyone that's going to be hurt by this. I truly do. But I really feel sorry for those who paid into the system for 40 years or longer, and it's going to be taken away from them. I feel sorry for them because what can they do? They're not young enough to go out there and start a job anywhere and do something else. They're in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, even older. What are they going to do to back up their income?
Well, you know, a lot of them were getting more than what they put into it also, and that was part of the problem, too.
That is part of the problem.
I mean, yeah, some of these younger, you know, a lot of retirees and so forth got a ton more than they put in, and then there's going to be others that put more in and aren't going to get it out. So,
It's been a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, it has.
It's going to come to an end, and this next article ties into it. I didn't know this, but it doesn't surprise me. Guess what the number one cause of death was last year in the world? Abortion.
Abortion?
Abortion. The number one cause of death in the world last year in 2021 has a chilling figure, it says. In 2021, abortion was the leading cause of death in the world, reaching a chilling 42.6 million of unborn children killed in the womb, according to data provided by Worldometer on December 31st. We can accurately say that abortion is the worst epidemic of our time. This is supported by the figures shown by the website, which show that as of noon on December 31st, 2021, 42.6 million abortions have been performed worldwide, while the total number of deaths from the other causes were 58.7 million. So, wow. 42%. That's amazing. The total about 3.5 million for the year. The WHO said of the COVID virus killed 3.5 million, they say, while we murdered 42.6 million. There's no comparison. No comparison. And you wonder why, you know, how many, and I don't get on this, this is a program, really not a program in this direction. But how many scientists and doctors and people do you think we cut off that maybe could have done something to turn things around for somebody in the womb? I had to say it. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's sad, but it's true. Now, back to the actual economics. Now, the airline industry is still struggling. You know that. Airlines canceled 1,900 Sunday flights amid snowstorm and staffing shortages. They say that people are calling out sick. That may be true. But most of the ones who say they're being sick have been vaccinated. They had to be vaccinated to continue working at the airlines. Most of the attendees and the pilots were vaccinated. So they still had to cancel 1,900 flights. Since Christmas Eve, travel cancellation delays have plagued U.S. airports. On Sunday, the last day of the year and the holiday travel season, is turning out to be another hellish day for airline passengers. Flight tracking firm FlightAware.com reports, as of 8 o'clock Eastern Time, more than 1,900 flights into or out of the U.S. were canceled, with nearly 800 delays. That followed Saturday's 2,700 cancellations. 2,700 on Saturday, 1,900 on Sunday. Chicago's O'Hare's Denver International Airport, Liberty International, had the most cancellations. SkyWest, Southwest, and JetBlue were among the most affected airlines. So, okay, that is very inconvenient. But most of these people who are calling out sick have been vaccinated. What's going on? I thought once you got vaccinated, you were done. Where about the COVID? So this has got to be hurting their bottom line, Melody. This has got to be hurting the bottom line. A total of 2,700 on Saturday, 1,700 on Sunday. That's a lot of flights canceled. I mean, I guess they've got other flights out later on. But that's going to discourage people from traveling, I would think, wouldn't you?
You think, yeah.
You know, I don't know how long they can do that.
I don't know. I mean, it's when you think about all the people that are stuck somewhere and so forth for, you know, until they can fix the situation. I don't know.
Well, you know, I praise God, I've never been stuck in an airport in more than a few hours. I've had delays, never nothing huge. But can you imagine being delayed for 2 or 3 days and all you got is the clothes on your back? And you sit in the airport, you know,
Well, they used to take you to a hotel, but they don't do that anymore.
They don't anymore. No, they don't. Mm-mm. They don't provide anything for you. You're kind of on your own.
Nope.
So I think it's that kind of discouraged me from wanting to fly, for one thing. It truly does. We were talking about for the first time in history, making U.S. history, not American babies, first time in immigration exceeds birth in U.S. history. More immigrants coming in this country of illegal aliens than natural-born citizens of America.
Wow.
First time in history. Wow.
Amazing.
It isn't that the country cannot sustain that, folks. It can't. I'm sorry. It cannot sustain itself that way. Inflation in Turkey explodes to 36.1%, blowing away estimates as hyperinflation sets in. Thanks, 6.8% CPI is high. Think again. This morning, long-suffering Turks living in Erdogan's microeconomic experiment woke up to learn that the country's annual inflation rate surged to 36.1% last month, and its highest in 19 years. Tayyip Erdogan and has ruled, blowing away expectation of only 27.4%. I mean, this is huge. I mean, 36% increase in inflation, and Turkey is actually going down the tubes financially, and they're going to other places like China and other places, trying to some way to find a way to bolster up their incomes, their earnings, how to keep it maintained. I don't know, Melly. This is not good news for any place, but it could come in here also in the very near future. We are seeing now that China is working hard to establish bases and connections with South America. That's coming right now. Do you think there's something behind the scenes there to help them dominate South America as we've done for years? They want to take over Latin America. That's got to be more to it than just wanting to trade with them. I think there's more scenario to that than that. China is trying to get into South America and build bases there. That probably would not be good for the U.S. What do you think?
No, but I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that you had, China's been working with Brazil and a lot of other countries. Look how they went in and set up bases in South Africa and so
sure.
forth. So China is making its move. It's there to help all these other nations that are struggling. And, you know, it's not a good scenario. And
America is losing face all over the world, we'll put that way. Everywhere. We're losing face in a country. And back to some more of the situation with COVID. Major staffing shortage at the New York Police Department and FDNY due to COVID surge. So all these people that are working for the police department and the fire departments, they're vaccinated and not working. But yet they're still calling out sick in record numbers. Folks, shouldn't this tell us something about these vaccinations and that they're not doing the job they're supposed to do? People trusted them, but they're not working. We need to think about this and look at this. The people that's out there supposedly to protect us and put out fires in the cities and other places are calling off sick because they got COVID after getting vaccinated. And my son lives in Colorado Springs. You probably heard this already. Right not too far from them, about an hour and a half northwest of them, they had 100 mile an hour winds and fires that destroyed 1,000 homes. 1,000 homes. That's a rather large community of 1,000 homes. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, that's a terrible, terrible.
100 mile an hour winds, and now they said I talked to Darren all last night. They had some snow, finally put the fires out, but not until 1,000 homes were destroyed. And I know this, praise God, it's never happened to any of us to that degree. Maybe some people have backup. Maybe they have family close by to live with. But a lot of them don't. Where do you go when your home has been destroyed? I know maybe they'll have insurance up, pay for things. But it's not going to be the same for a long time. So you got to feel for these people. This time of year, in the wintertime, it's not warm in Colorado in the wintertime. So these are things that we look at and we just shrug our shoulders to. But folks, this affects people every day. Any comments on LD?
No, it's a terrible situation. I mean, I never heard of 100-mile-an-hour winds in those areas.
No. I haven't either. And we're about out of time. So don't put any of them in.
We are. You heard the music this time, did you not?
Yes.
All righty. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here with Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.